so much for coming tonight. Of course, yesterday was Memorial Day. Pete, how did you spend your Memorial Day?
I did my American duty.
Right.
I got drunk and passed out. And then I woke up and read comics.
Oh, okay, good. All right, I was hoping that would tie back into comics somehow.
Yeah.
I went outside, I had a barbecue with some friends, and I barbecued some comics. Yeah.
That's the worst thing you could do.
This is good. We're just trying out some material. So I think it's going really well.
We're
going to do something about Alan Tipper Gore, I think.
Yeah.
Sad. They're getting divorced.
Yeah.
And I think what he probably said to her was,
"Here's an inconvenient truth. I don't love you anymore."
And we're still workshopping material.
Oh, let's go home, guys.
Pete, it's your turn.
Okay, hey, how about that Justin guy? Man, that guy can't remember to show up.
All right, I think that's a good one to end on. Guys, I'm very excited about the guests that we have tonight, so let's welcome out, ladies and gentlemen, Eric Schadauer!
Yeah! Hello.
Yay! All right, Eric, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you back
Thank
here again.
Thank you so much, Alex.
Last time you were here, I think you were you were a young man.
I was younger.
Yes. So let's talk about the books that you're doing. You're doing, of course, this book. Well, this book is done, Wonderful Wizard of Oz,
yeah,
which is awesome, and The Marvelous Land of Oz. Now, since we've seen you last time, this has been nominated for a couple of Eisners, right?
Yes, it has.
So what's that feel like? Do you get into some really good clubs now?
No, unfortunately, you don't get much, except the honor, I guess.
It sounds like you're thrilled.
Really excited.
I'm more excited for the artist of the book, Scotty Young, because I think he really deserves a lot of acclaim for the job he did on the book. I give him the lion's share of the credit for it being a success.
Cool. Well, talk about the process working with Scotty Young, going from Wonderful Wizard of Oz to Marvelous Land of Oz. You hadn't worked together before that, right?
No, we hadn't. Basically, I write the script and Scotty draws it, and that's about the extent of our collaboration.
Sweet. That's really cool.
That's how comics work. Yeah. I really like Scotty. He's a really nice guy. I hadn't met him until after he had done about half of Wizard. I've seen him at a few conventions and was, have lunch or dinner or whatever.
Well, do you feel like, though, that there's anything, having the first series out of the way, knowing his art a little better, do you have it in mind when you're writing the scripts at all?
I thought I would, but I do to some extent, but I don't also to some extent, because when I'm in there writing a script, I'm just really thinking of what's the best way to adapt this book into a comic and just trying to see it in my own mind and not really thinking about whose style it is, just trying to make sure it's good as I can do.
Yeah, he's done an amazing job bringing your writing to life. The first time you saw it, were you like, oh my God, this is better than kind of what you maybe had envisioned, or were you just pleasantly surprised by how cool it was?
Or were you disappointed?
I was spectacularly surprised. I didn't really know Scotty's art before this project. I had seen some samples from Marvel when they told me that I was going to be working with him, but it was very difficult for me to envision what that art was going to look like for this project. And then when I saw the work, it was like, oh, this is really good. I was so relieved, because who knew what it was going to look like?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been an Oz fan since I was six years old and drawn Oz comics and illustrated other Oz projects. So I'm kind of very close to the material.
Do you think your art is better than Scotty Young's?
Better? No. Do I think my art is better? No. My art is my vision, and his art is his vision. So it's not really a question of better.
All right. It sounds like it's better.
Do you want us to
play? Okay. Talk a little bit about going from Wizard of Oz, which obviously the book is very different than the movie, different than the story, which is where a lot of people know the story from. But Marvelous Land of Oz, I think, is even less known. Is there something a little bit freer there, adapting that versus adapting the first book?
No.
Cool. Good question. Nice. Let's move on then. Okay, fine. All right. Let's talk about other book you're working on, Age of Bronze. Yes. So Pete, you were reminding me last time you were here, you were, how many issues, you were, well, this is issue 29 that we have here.
Yes, it is.
And it's going to run about 200 issues, right?
Mm-hmm. 80.
Okay, all right, that's slightly different.
Yeah.
How's that going?
Well, I turned in 30 a couple weeks ago, so it'll be out soon. So I've at least gotten there. Yeah, it's a long process, and I keep getting slower the older I get. I just keep slowing down.
Yeah. Do you feel like just maybe blasting through the last 50 issues, just rushing through it, and like doing a sloppy job, maybe?
Yeah. Yes, actually, I do feel like that. But I can't. You know, I'm just
it's
too much of a
giant project you've taken on.
I'm too much of a tight ass to just, you know, blast through.
Talk about you know, a little bit how this project has changed for you from entering and saying, okay, I'm going to write 80 issues or so from the first issue to now issue 30.
But back at the first issue, it was going to be like 42 issues.
Okay.
It keeps expanding. That's how it changes.
So eventually it will be at 200.
Very possibly.
Okay.
But I hope not.
Well, I look forward to, like, when, you know, as time goes on, we're going to keep having you back on the show, and we'll see. We'll see how you're doing,
how
the age is progressing. If you're like, I still got...
Yeah, with my walker.
Yeah, yeah. 100 more issues. Wow. I've narrowed it down.
What's amazing to me about that story is not your side of things, but that we're still doing this show.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely still doing the show.
Yeah, because the second I have a chance for anything, I'm out of here.
Yeah, me too.
What?
What?
Well, I wanted something more.
Sing about it.
No.
Okay. Cool. This is going really, really well. What else is coming up for you? You're working on a third Oz series?
Yes. I'm in the middle of writing it right now. I'm way ahead on the schedule for scripts. And Scotty's still finishing up drawing the last few issues of Marvelous Land. And I'm in the middle of writing Ozma of Oz. That's the third Oz book. And it'll be the third Oz series from Marvel.
Huh.
And when I was a kid, Ozma of Oz was my favorite Oz book. Unfortunately, sitting there adapting a script and analyzing the prose by L. Frank Baum doesn't really hold up as an adult. So, which is very different than Wizard, the first book was. The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, I actually think, is an excellent book if you read it as an adult.
Mm-hmm. What doesn't work about it? What doesn't hold up?
Well, Dorothy is incredibly stupid, suddenly. She seems to have a hard time reading. I mean, she's possibly, you know, she's probably like 8, 9, 10 years old, but she has to ask her pet chicken what this sign says.
Sure.
So
we do the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
When we're driving.
So,
together with our pet chickens.
What are their names?
Herbert and Gulford.
Gulford?
That's his chicken name. I don't know. I named mine Herbert.
Gulford's great. It's a very badly named for a chicken, so shut up. It's a really good name for a chicken. So Ozma of Oz, I think you were talking about. Well, since it doesn't quite hold up to your childhood examination.
But it's still a good story. Everyone's going to enjoy it. I'm just trying to downplay the stupidity of Dorothy Gale.
Well, that's nice of you.
Well, so, I mean, that was getting towards my question, was how much, when you're doing an adaptation, how much freedom do you feel to change or tweak the characters, if at all?
If they end up being pretty stupid, I try to make them a little bit smarter, obviously.
I think Gopher is a great name for chickens, so what am I talking about?
But with these Oz books, actually, the project started out as part of Marvel Illustrated, which was Marvel's imprint adapting classic literature, and they were trying to, you know, repeat Classics Illustrated. So sort of the point was to do faithful adaptations of the source material. So that's why Wizard is actually very, very close to the book. And I've just been continuing that way, even though it never actually ended up as a Marvel Illustrated book. They took it out of that ghetto and just made it a regular Marvel book.
So you've won.
Well, I'm left standing. The Oz series is left standing. The Oz and Jane Austen are the only projects left from that imprint.
Who do you think is going to win that? Standing.
Well, I don't know. Us.
Good. All right. All right. We can cheer that on. I think that's a good note to end on. Let's move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
Hey. First thing we're going to talk about, guys, Batman, Return of Bruce Wayne, number 2. Bruce Wayne has been gone. We thought he was dead. Turns out he's back in time, fighting his way through time to the future. But, as we find out in this issue, if Bruce Wayne makes it back to the future dies. Pete, explain this comic.
I can't. I never thought I'd say this, but I miss the days when we thought Batman was just crazy and lived in a cave. And drew bats on the wall. I miss that.
You mean last issue?
No, like before this whole thing started, and it was just like...
You mean comics? Before comics start? Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's going to be a hell of a show, buddy.
Where's Gopher?
Yeah, where's Gopher?
I'm sure he's around.
He's probably parking the car. So he's good. Oh, man. But yeah, this is just ridiculous. I feel like Grant Morrison
this
is...
Show?
Well, yes. Oh. Yes. Thank you.
Hey.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, I like this. You know, this is, it's a little tough because there's two Batmans in a way. There is the Batman that Grant Morrison likes to write, which is almost insane, science, crazy, superhero Batman. And then there's gritty crime fighter Batman who, you know, is on the streets and beating people up and whatnot. And this is Batman traveling through time, controlling robots, being a witch finder back in Puritan times and tracking down witches and fighting giant hyper beasts from beyond time. Which, I gotta say, not my favorite Batman, but it's ridiculous, what? So I think it's fun.
It's not, I don't know if it's fun.
Oh, did I go one word too far?
Yeah, you did. Right. I just feel that, like... Part of me would have loved to have been in on the pitch meeting for this, where Grant Morrison walks into a room and is just like, you know what? I'm killing Batman, and I'm going to have a pirate Batman and a pilgrim Batman and a... like, what? Caveman Batman? Where he's going to be wearing a bat?
They did that all in the 60s, didn't they?
I'm sure they did.
Caveman.
They probably did. I mean, Grant Morrison... Grant Morrison is constantly doing things like that where he's pulling out pieces of ephemera from history that nobody remembers, but he's like, oh, I found it in a back bin one time and I was dead.
Great impression of Grant
Thank
Morrison.
Thank you very much.
Scottish accent.
Yeah, that's my Scottish accent. Thank you. So you would say don't pick this up. I'm actually kind of surprised because I feel like Crazy Action Batman would be right up your...
This isn't Crazy Action. This is like there's so much... talking and kind of like madness ensuing that it's there's nothing. I would just love it if there was like a fight and I wouldn't have to think like where am I in time and who is this and does anyone think this is racist. I don't know, it's really weird to have it all over the
towards
place
towards Puritans?
I don't
towards
know
towards witches?
I don't know
towards hyper timepiece?
Yes!
Oh, okay, I agree.
Yeah,
there is far too much racism towards hyper timepiece going on these days.
Damn.
But
civil rights movement.
Yeah, when are we gonna have a hyper time beast president? Which Batman is your Batman? Would you say Crazy Science Batman or Fisticuffs Batman?
I like the Batman drawn by what's his name now? Dick Sprang? No, yeah,
maybe.
Did you say Dick Sprang? Richard Sprang.
Is that right?
No, I think you're right. Sprang.
Is anybody out there now?
Yeah.
Anybody?
I think that's right.
Dick Sprang? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's my
unfortunate name. Good artist. But yeah, but you like that.
Yeah. Well, I like this line too. And I'll vow Brother Mordecai was tempted by this Jezebel to his death at the dragon's claws. But there's one way to end this. Fire.
See? Yeah. Seems racist, right?
I really don't know where you're getting that from. All right, I would say pick this up.
No, don't pick it up. It's completely insane. It's like dropping acid with Grant Morrison. You don't know what's going to happen.
That sounds awesome.
What'd you lose?
Yeah, it really doesn't. I feel like I would be held prisoner.
You got it?
And that's a weird...
Nice, the chicken stole it.
Also, the art changes with each... With each issue?
Which is, sure. Well, it's a different time period, so it's a different artist. Here you're getting Frazier Irving. Frazier Crane illustrated this issue, and he does a great job because he's a really good psychiatrist.
Well, I like the art, but it's like I'm trying to, you know, hang on to some kind of line of continuity or what's happening in this thing, but it's so different each issue, and even the characters that are supposed to be the same, like Superman. He looks so different that it makes me question everything, you know? Whoa. Like
literally everything?
No, but, you know, everything that happened in the prior issue. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just because the characters are so different from each issue, even the ones that are supposed to be the same.
Okay. I can see that. All right, I would say pick it up, person. Let's watch.
Superman looks weird, is my point.
I like the art.
There you go. Final word. We like the art. Secret Avengers, number one by Ed Brubaker and Mike Diodato. This is, if you couldn't tell from the title, it's a team of Avengers who are a secret. Pete, some of your favorite characters are in here, from Moon Knight to, I think that's it. What did you think of this issue?
I'm a little disappointed in Brubaker. Like, what's he doing? Why is he working on this? It doesn't seem like...
Well, did you like it?
No.
You did. What didn't you like about it?
It's not good. I don't understand what's happening. Like, what are these guys doing?
It was one artist for the entire issue.
Yeah, but it's so kind
it's
of like...
It's not that racist.
Yeah, well, maybe. But it just... There's so much going on all at once that I read it twice, and I was like, I don't know what's happening.
I will say I like this issue. I thought it was fun. But the two things that are against it a little bit is it's very hard to get into this. I can't imagine anybody picking up this issue clean without having read any of these characters before and be like, cool, I get exactly what's going on with everybody. So I think that's holding a little back a little bit. The other thing that's holding it back a little bit is I'm just not crazy about proactive teams in comics. This always pops up every once in a while. It's usually in the DC universe with outsiders, where you have a team who comes in and is like, okay, rather than letting everybody attack us all the time, we're going to attack them first and take care of the danger first. And it's always they have one arc like that, and then the second arc is somebody comes into their headquarters and attacks them, and they're like, what? How could this happen? We were the proactive team. This issue, that happens at the end of the first issue, so at least they're getting it out of the way quick. I feel pretty good about that.
Well, yeah, that's a great reason to pick it up then. No.
No, I'm saying that's one of the negative things about me.
Oh, that's the one negative thing?
I said two negative things.
All right. Well, anyways.
I wasn't listening to you, but...
I was listening to you. I was listening to you, but I agree with what you're saying, but I don't think it's very good at all, actually. And even from panel to panel, it's confusing. Like, Moon Knight's having a conversation with somebody on the roof, and then all of a sudden one guy gets ghost punched, and then Ant-Man jumps out of nowhere, and they're in a hallway. And I was like, what the fuck?
So you don't understand how people can get from one place to another.
Exactly. Show me some stairs or something. It doesn't make any sense.
You would like
they went from outside to inside, Alex, in a comic book. I can understand people flying and having superpowers, but how'd they get inside?
You would really actually enjoy, I've been reading this new comic book called Real Time Comics,
mm-hmm.
where it happens like, the entire issue was just this guy blinking last issue. It was awesome.
Wow.
It was very cool, but it made sense. That's the thing that
good,
I liked about it.
Good.
did you have a chance to look at this at all?
I looked at it a little bit.
Yeah, what did you think?
Well, I Ed Brubaker is a pretty good friend of mine. I generally read everything he writes. I like a lot of his writing. I think he's an excellent writer in general.
I
don't think his strength is team books, though.
Sure.
And so I didn't actually read this, but I did read the page where Moon Knight goes from outside to inside, and then Ant-Man pops out of nowhere. It's true.
Well, he's Ant-Man.
But he has a funny line, which I...
Another
please.
Reenactment, yes.
Ant-Man, well, how loud is his voice? I don't know. Glamour, fame, paparazzi, girls. Definitely girls. well, I guess if I didn't read the line before, that doesn't really follow. But the art is really good.
It's great.
Mike Deodato does a great job. I really like his art a lot. I would say for fans who are picking up Avengers books anyway, I think this is worth it, unless you're Pete.
Yep.
Cool. All right, let's move on to a comic that Pete did pick up, so the implication is that he probably likes it, which is Rob Zombie Presents Whatever Happened to Baron Von Schock, number one. Pete, you want to talk about this a little bit? You like this comic?
Well, I thought, you know, because we do this live show where we talk about new comics.
Never
come
been
out.
Into it. When is it?
I figured, hey, Rob Zombie wrote a comic book. Let's buy it, talk about it on the show. So that's
why. You're a big fan of the rebooted Halloween. And...
No.
What? No?
No. I did like the couple of movies Rob Zombie directed, though. So I was
The House of a Thousand Corpses.
Yeah, yeah, I thought that was good.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, let me check this out. See what this... It's horrible jokes, and then some TNA thrown in there, and I was like, really? Rob Zombie?
Basically, this is about...
I expected so much.
Yeah. He really raised the bar of taste very high with House of a Thousand Corpses. And he just didn't match it with whatever happened to
Baron Von Schock. Well, I thought, you know, like, all right, let's take a genre, a horror genre, and I thought sure. He did a great job, so... Hopefully he would take a comic and...
This is about a old-timey horror show host, kind of like Elvira a little bit, and shows how he goes from being a nobody on the set to becoming the biggest star, I guess, in the country.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And along the way has a lot of sex and whatever. I feel like the problems start with this, where the title of the comic book is Whatever Happened to Baron Von Schock. Can I borrow it for a second? It's the title is Whatever Happened to Baron Von Schock, but the title of the book is The Rise of Leon Stokes, which I know is kind of a little thing, but it's too many names right off of the bat.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That sucks when there's too many names. No, it was just...
It shows a lack of focus.
Yeah, no, exactly. I was going to continue that, where it's like you got two different names going on, then you think the story is going to be about a guy who... was the star and how he's going to regain, but then it becomes about the nobody who's doing coke off of hooker's asses. Ooh. And then all of a sudden, it's like at the end of the comic, you get a new girl, and she's got an animal. So, what?
She's got an animal?
She's got an animal with her.
Sure.
I don't know. I didn't write the comic. I'm just saying. It's crazy.
Did you read the comic?
Yes, I did.
Okay, because she's hanging out with a guy dressed as a werewolf.
All right, well.
It's not like she has an animal with her.
I would say that was a dog that's been... injected with stuff.
Oh, man, you're brave.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Is there a zombie comic this week?
No. Yeah, there's a lot of objectionable content, if you will.
Yeah, this Rob Zombie wrote this one.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't mind the idea, but it feels like it's a screenplay in comic book form. That's my big problem with it right now. We were talking about this a little bit outside. One thing, just to compliment you, that I think you do nicely with the Wizard of Oz stuff, this is a book, but you actually take the time to have dialogue in the scenes, and you make it comic book scenes, and it's not just all text, 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 text.
Thanks.
No problem.
I was a little, just opening this book, I haven't actually read it yet, but I was struck by how text-heavy it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought I wrote text-heavy, but this is a lot of words. Is this supposed to be a comedy?
I think so, yes.
Is it? Okay. Because the art is perfectly serviceable, but... it doesn't say funny to me, and I think it could be. It would probably be. I think the whole comic might be a lot more successful if the art was a lot funnier. Mm-hmm. It was just drawn funny.
Yeah, it's a tough thing. It's finding the right artist for a terrible comic book like this. Anyway, all right, let's move on. Green Lantern number 54, continuing Brightest Day. Vomiting blood demons have invaded New York. Pete, what'd you think about this issue?
Oh man, what a crazy issue this was. Don't take the subway, or an 80s version of the subway. When was the last time Geoff Johns has been in New York City?
Earlier this week.
I was going to say, like, what the F? It's a... You were talking earlier about how the...
It's a very... It starts off with, like, thugs with mohawks and guns going out to the New York City subway being like, hey, give me all your jewelry, see? Probably not exactly like that. We're very 1920s. And then Blood Demon, Atrocious, that doesn't make it sound better, comes to the subway and stops them. And yeah. fills the subway with his blood kitty up with blood.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, that is in fact what a kitty says.
And then while all that's happening, you know, you got Green Lantern and Sinestro sitting around talking, and they're just having fun with their rings and making crazy, and then talking about Sword in the Stone and what an important part of history that is. And then one person makes a giant boot, and then another person makes a cute little Cupid.
I think you've described every issue of Green Lantern ever.
It was absolutely ridiculous from start to finish. And then the last page reveal is Lobo's next. And it was like, oh boy.
Well, you were excited about that.
I am excited about that. But then after this issue, I was like, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt bad. I can already feel it.
Yeah. It's tough for me because I like Geoff Johns. I like Green Lantern. I think, you know, obviously he's a good writer. He knows what he's doing. He definitely cares about Green Lantern a lot. But I want to get off of the color stuff for a little bit. What he was doing such a good job with, and what I think he does a good job with in general, is working with one character and focusing on that character and really getting to what that makes that character work. And he's been doing that up until all this Blackest Night stuff. I want to see him come down off of Blood Demon and Sinestro and Carol running around in a Star Sapphire costume and instead focus on Hal Jordan and what makes Hal Jordan interesting, if he is in fact interesting.
And do you think all this Sword in the Stone stuff is going to pay off, or is it just a weird thing of like every issue there?
There has been, for those of you I've been reading, we talked about this with, I think it was either Brightest Day Zero or Brightest Day One, they had a whole scene where the only information you got out of the issue was what the story of the Sword in the Stone was, and they repeat that entire scene in this issue. So in case you don't know what the Sword in the Stone is, you have two DC comics that come out recently that let you know what it is, which is nice. I think it's a helpful service.
Yeah, yeah, it's great.
What if you were King Arthur and you're like, I don't know how to get this sword out of the stone. And then you would read this comic and be like, now I know.
Yeah.
Thank you, Geoff Johns. This is what King Arthur talks like.
Aquaman.
Yeah. You want me to do Aquaman? Aquaman. What?
King Arthur. Aquaman.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, I was talking about King Arthur of the Round Table. They have two totally different voices. Cool, let's move on. Huh?
Yeah.
All right, last but not least, we're going to talk about Amazing Spider-Man number 632 by Zeb Wells. This is the third part of The Lizard is Back. The Lizard, sadly, this is a little bit of a spoiler, at the end of his last issue, his lizard brain took over his human brain and he ate his own son. Ugh. Comics are for kids, people. What do you think about this?
Oh, man, I can't wait to have a kid so then I can eat it. It's going to be awesome. It's a little confusing with the, you know, having the lizard be like, my lizard brain and my human brain. That was kind of crazy dialogue to be having going on for a couple pages. But the art is great, even though later in the issue the art changes. That confused me for a little bit. It's good. Say it's good comic.
Yeah, that sounds unequivocally awesome. Which page are you showing?
Just random page, just before the art changes.
Yeah. What did you think about this? Did you get a chance to look through this issue?
Glance
through
it, at least.
What did you think of it?
Oh, I thought it was some like a reasonable Spider-Man issue. I noticed that the art did change, and I mean, Spider-Man's eyes suddenly get smaller, and I wondered why that was. There was a reason for that, a story reason. I didn't really get to read the story. But
he has this eye shrinking disease.
Yeah. I guess it's just
sad.
Yeah.
They put out the comic almost weekly at this point, so it makes sense that at some point an artist will not necessarily be able to keep up with that. So I appreciate them giving a chance and getting two good artists on the issue at least, and also separating it by scenes. Right?
Sure. Yeah.
Whatever.
I think it's, I agree with you. What's nice about this comic, though, is that there's no witty kind of Spider-Man dialogue in here, which is not nice, but I feel that they explain it. So it's not like, you're not like, hey, what the F? They get into why he's not, you know, bantering, if you will.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of like a good...
Oh, but he says, Irk can't move, right here.
That's pretty funny. he's not bantering because it is a serious situation, I guess. I don't know. I like this. I think this is good. I think the art is good. It's fun. I'm not crazy about overpowering villains all the time. So you take Lizard, and now he's even more lizardy than usual. But he's still wearing a lab coat. He's like, where's my clothes? And he put on some of his clothes.
Yeah, it seemed like a lot of weird dialogue for, like, I need my skin. And then it's like, ah, lab coat, I feel better.
Well, that's why you put on your jacket, right?
Yeah, but I don't walk around for, like, 10 minutes backstage being like, I need my skin.
Yeah, yeah, right. All right, that's it for the stack. Guys. It's time for our next section, which is my favorite section, because you make it up. It's your audience questions, and for that, we're going to bring out Boothman.
Boothman!
Hooray.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
Boothman lives in the booth, in case this is your first time here. That explains the bathroom.
But not the sippy stuff. Not the sippy stuff.
This question's for you. What's your best and worst memory of working with First Publishing? Great question, guys.
Oh, God. My best memory of working with them is probably them accepting my proposal for an Oz graphic novel series. And my worst memory is when they were going out of business and they had all the artwork for my last Oz graphic novel, and there was an article in the Comics Journal that said that the First Comics offices were closed, and I had just talked to them like a week before, and I didn't know what was going on, so I was like, oh, I was living in Connecticut at the time, like, and they were in Chicago, and I was saying, I have to fly to Chicago to get my artwork in, I'm gonna have to break into the offices because the door's locked and I don't know where everything is, and I was calling them up and going, I'm flying there tomorrow. So then people calmed me down and I called back the next day and apologized for my outrageous behavior, and that's my worst memory.
Well, that was great.
Did you get your art?
You know, that book, they went out of business before they had a chance to publish it, so my art was, Dark Horse bought the rights to that book, so my art went to Dark Horse. But I finally did, yes, got it back.
So it had a happy ending.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Raise your hand if you asked that. Pete's going to bring you some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Is there going to be a Deadpool movie?
Yes, we're putting one in production next week.
Yep.
Was that the question?
We're accepting headshots and resumes if you want to be in it, so
please send those in.
Pete is going to play the pool.
You're going to be playing Dead.
Yep, Dead and Pool. You guys know those comics, right? We don't. Are you looking forward to a Deadpool movie?
It's, you know, it's one of those things where if you love something, you want to watch it, then be... torn apart and then put in the Hollywood machine and then watch some half version of what you love on screen while you crowd yourself.
If it's The Punisher, would you say you would do it like 5 times in the theater?
I don't even know where to go with that. Yeah, I mean, it would be great if they did it and did it right, but I don't know how that would happen, so sure, yeah, let's ruin another thing that's great.
Wow, that's really sad. Would you want to see a Deadpool movie?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't go see superhero movies in general, and because the ones that I have seen, I'm usually disappointed, so why prolong the agony?
That's actually
the motto to live by.
Yeah, that's actually probably, that's the tagline on the poster. Deadpool, why prolong the agony? Summer 2011. Raise your hand if you ask that piece.
Do we know if it's...
I mean, it's in production. They're working with Ryan Reynolds on it, and they probably have a script somewhere in development. Whether it will actually ever happen or not depends on how badly Fox wants to hold on to the rights for Deadpool. That's basically what it comes down to. For those of you who don't know, generally how it works is that Fox... The reason they keep putting X-Men movies into production is so the rights don't revert back to Marvel. So Marvel can't get them... Not because they don't necessarily want Marvel to have it, but because they don't want Marvel to do a better movie and do well with something better than they could, because then it's embarrassing for them. So they would rather put out crappier and crappier and crappier movies than let somebody trump them in some way and somebody say, wow, that was better than Fox ever could have done. So you're going to see a Deadpool movie eventually from somebody.
Great.
I thought Ryan Reynolds had to choose one or the other as for Hal.
What?
I thought Ryan Reynolds had to choose one or the other, either Deadpool or Green Lantern.
Ryan Reynolds can choose whatever he wants.
He's Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah,
he's actually in the proposal.
The best.
He was Alanis Morissette's fiance.
Yeah. He was. Wait, what happened?
It's ironic.
Who said that?
You're not allowed to say that ever again. Richard, if you ask that, Pete's going to bring you some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Thank you so much. Worst actor or actress to play or voice a comic character?
Worst actor or actress? Well, we had Kevin Conroy on the show a couple of weeks ago. He's pretty bad. No, that's not true. Somebody else played Batman. Was it a guy from Wings?
Tony Shalhoub?
No. not Tony Shalhoub. What?
Stephen Weber?
Yeah, not Stephen Weber, the other guy.
Tim Daly.
Tim Daly. Didn't he do the voice of Batman in a movie?
Superman. So that was Superman.
Okay, I don't know.
Alan
Baldwin? Ellen Baldwin doing the voice of Batman was pretty bad, I think. Because she has this high screechy voice. I'm going to get you, Joker. That's what she said. It was a weird one.
You sound like Mike Tyson.
Thank you. Pete, who do you think the worst or best voice was?
You didn't even answer that question. You said...
Well, actually, I talked to Phil LaMarr on the phone today. That was pretty cool. He does the voices of John Stewart and Steel and Stripe in the Justice League Unlimited series and a couple of other things. He's great, and he actually...
Hermes!
Yes, and he does Hermes, which is the main thing we were talking about, but I stuck a couple of Justice League things in there. And he did... We talked about doing... Is it tough to do... say John Stewart and Steel and Stripe when they're all superhero guys, and he was saying especially with that you try to come at it as differently as you possibly can and really find a different way on the character, because there's a possibility they're going to be in scenes at the same time. So Phil LaMarr is the best. That's my point. Go on.
I would say maybe Halle Berry is the worst. I mean,
voice actor.
Oh, it can be just regular actor.
Yeah, it was regular actor.
Oh, it was regular actor.
Both. Did you listen?
Nope. Eric?
No, I don't know.
Cool?
Don't ask me.
No, that's fine. You don't go see the movies, so. That's
Holly Berry was worse than Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Arnold Schwarzenegger gave us... There's a YouTube compilation video of all the times he says ice and things in Batman and Robin, which is one of the best things I've ever seen in my entire life. We're just going, ice, cool, freeze, winter, ice, kick some ice. It's great. So for that alone, he's better than Halle Berry.
I know, I would go ahead and agree with you that Schwarzenegger was pretty bad. And, you know, Clooney was bad, for Christ's sakes. I mean, that was just...
Carrie was bad as Joker, my God. A Riddler.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. You're incorrect.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Well, this is great.
This is like the Lincoln Douglas debates all over again. Two silver tongued devils. Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. Pete's going to bring you some free comics. No more questions. All right. There are. All right. Let's do a quick lightning round. Let's get some questions.
What is the best non-comic Oz adaptation?
Eric.
The 1939 MGM movie with Judy Garland.
Second best? Or one that people may not have checked out or heard of?
One that people may not have heard of. There was a French comic that came out in the early 2000s that was an adaptation of The Wonderful Wizard of Oz with beautiful, beautiful art. Actually, Image did an English translation of it, so it's available in English, but it's a comics adaptation of Wizard. Beautiful.
Cool.
What about The Wiz?
The Wiz is great if it's done right. I saw Stephanie Mills do it in the early 90s version, and she was just spectacular. I was really afraid because she was like 38 years old at the time. She was the original Dorothy on Broadway in the 70s, and I was trepidatious about what she was going to look like on stage in her late 30s. But she came on stage, and she was just, you know, this 10-year-old girl. It was great.
Cool.
Seen some really bad versions of The Wiz, though.
What will be cooler, a Thor or... I believe that says Cap movie, but I could be wrong.
Probably.
Yeah, Cap, yeah.
So both of them are coming out next summer. Pete, which you're more excited for?
I mean, it depends. There's a lot of great stuff for both of them that'll make me real excited to see, you know, the transformation with Thor and then him, like, throwing that hammer around. I'm going to just get all nerded out for, you know. Yeah, I would have to say, I would say probably the Thor one I'm looking forward to the most. I would be extremely surprised if the Cap movie was good.
Right.
Yeah, I could agree with that. I mean, Cap seems kind of all over the place. Joe Johnston directing, cast is a little weird. Thor, on the other hand, you have Kenneth Branagh, who is, with the exception of Frankenstein, pretty awesome. Let's get the next question.
This is for you again. In quotes, Hubert's 10-year reunion. Would you still remember Alan White if you were sitting in the audience?
Alan White. Maybe.
Is Alan White sitting in the audience?
Alan White is sitting in the audience.
Yes, I remember you. In fact, there's a picture on Facebook on that all those QBs happened trying to figure out who is that guy?
Really?
And it's you, yes.
It's me?
Yeah.
I'll have to
So now I can tell them. Yeah.
The answer is yes. Cool. And that's it for your audience questions.
Yeah.
Give yourself a round of applause. Guys, we are going to move on with the next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek. Hooray! We did it. First thing we're going to talk about, little news that came out today, maybe rumor, maybe not, from Lost, Josh Holloway, Sawyer himself.
Woo!
Yeah! Sexy Sawyer. Is going to possibly, thank you, be in a Marvel movie. At least Marvel has been talking to them about a part. Apparently it's a major part. What would you want to see Josh Holloway do?
Anything.
Die?
I mean, if you wait around long enough, you're definitely...
Yeah! Gonna I'm going to outlive you, you son of a bitch!
No, that's not what I said.
Take it.
I don't know, man. Like, wouldn't you always just see the Lost guy if you saw him doing
no,
something?
I don't think so. I mean, one thing that I think actually he'd be great for, and I don't know if this is what they're talking to him about, but there is going to be
Green
Edgar
Arrow.
Wright... That's DC. Edgar Wright is doing an Ant-Man movie, and original talks had been that maybe they would go with Robert Kirkman's storyline. So having him be Eric O'Grady, the irredeemable Ant-Man, would be kind of awesome, I think. Anybody? No? Nobody? Yeah?
Sure. Maybe Namor, seeing as Hugo Weaving, Elrond, isn't being cast for the part, he's in water.
He is in water.
Yes. He is a very, very... Yeah, he's in water right now. So I guess we go with that. He
Hawkeye. Okay.
Hawkeye. Yeah. He'd be a great Hawkeye.
Spider-Man. Yeah. I'm just saying things.
Yeah, he'd be a great Galactus. Ego the Living Planet. They're probably making a movie of that. I would love to...
Would you,
Moda.
Yeah. But, what would you like to see him as? Anybody?
I don't know. Eon the Living Planet sounds great to me.
Yeah. That's two different things, but okay, yeah, we'll go with that.
Oh, sorry.
Ego. No, that's fine.
Ego.
Are you thinking of Captain EO, the Living Planet?
Captain EO? Oh, no.
All right, we're going to move
dead,
on.
Isn't he?
Captain EO? No, they're doing a new Captain EO, I think, somewhere.
What?
Somewhere in heaven. Let's move on. Other little bit of casting news. This is actually a bit of a Twitter thing that was going on. You guys like the Twitter. Donald Glover, who's been a comedian here in New York for a while. Yeah. He's on Community on NBC right now, which is a great show. There was an article in... This is very roundabout, but there was an article on the website IO9 written by Mark Bernardin, who's a comic book writer, written The Authority, been on the show a couple of times. He had an article saying, listen, if you're recasting, if you're restarting Spider-Man anyway, why not have a non-white Spider-Man? So Donald Glover tweeted and said, hey, while we're talking about non-white Spider-Man, why don't we put me up for the role? And it became such a Twitter meme that it's been reprinted in pretty much every major online publication. It's starting to work its way. I think the New York Times had a mention of it as well. Would you want to see Donald Glover in the role of Spider-Man?
Most definitely.
Sure.
Sure, it's kind of like The Wiz.
It could be, yeah.
I'm so glad I brought that
They already cast Spider-Man.
Well, they have five people up for it. But what he wants, what he's asking for is just a chance to go in and audition. It is something you'd want to see?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It's hilarious on the show, and I feel like that's a big part.
Well, we were talking about that a little bit. You were saying that one of the things that you feel like has been missing from the Spider-Man movies is a sense of humor, right?
Well, yeah. That and other things, but sure, yeah.
Yeah, what other things, Pete?
Well, I'm not going to get into those.
Please. Yeah. Sam Raimi isn't here tonight. He's usually in the audience, but he's not going to be upset about it.
It's inside your head that says a dance scene is just not a good idea.
The dance scene is the best thing.
That is ridiculous.
You're stupid.
Thank you.
Am I, or am I just so smart that it seems stupid?
No.
Thank you, person who said no.
Great. We're going to show you a little movie trailer now. So here it is. Enjoy.
Hey, what's up?
I'll leave you alone forever now.
You know this one girl with hair like this?
Yes, that's Ramona Flowers.
She's out here late.
You know her? Tell me now.
She just moved here, got a job at Amazon.
I told her something really cool. Scott, are you waiting for the package you just ordered?
Maybe.
Scott Pilgrim?
Hi, I was thinking about asking you out, but then I realized how stupid that would be.
That's okay. You can sign for this, alright?
So do you want to go out sometime?
I say yes, we sign for your damn package.
So yeah, 8 o'clock? Remember this battle of the bands thing?
Yeah, the band.
Yeah, we're terrible.
Mr. Pilgrim! Behind Ramona's first evil ex-boyfriend.
What? Christ, we're fighting over Ramona?
Didn't you get my email explaining the situation?
I skimmed it.
What was that all about?
If we're gonna date, you may have to defeat my son-in-law, Alexis.
So what you're saying is we are dating?
I guess.
Does that mean we can make out?
Sure.
Scott Pilgrim!
The wrath of the League of Evil Exes.
Ramona did twins.
At the same time?
If you want something bad, you have to fight for it. Step up your game, Scott. We got the L word.
Lesbian?
The other L word.
Lesbians?
What are you doing?
Getting a life.
You want to fight me for her? Why on earth would you want to do that?
Because I'm in love with her.
Scott Pilgrim versus the world.
Maybe next time we don't date the girl with 11 people experience. Well, that's not that bad.
So, Pete, you've already seen this movie.
Yep. It's awesome.
Are you bored by the advertising? Or how do you think the advertising works to sell the movie?
Well, I think what was nice about going in to see the movie is I didn't see a lot of the previews. And sometimes, like, you know, when you see separate parts, you know, especially for something like Scott Pilgrim where you know a lot about his world and what goes on, you can try to connect dots. And that can ruin things if your mind does better than what the movie does. So... But I can't say enough. Like, the movie was amazing, and it was just so much fun. And they really took the comic and honored it, and I think brought it to life in such a great way that represents what the comic was all about. So, hopefully, not only will this, hopefully, it'll be more of a like, hey, we should do that in movies. We'll make it like the comic was, and not try to do our own thing with it and try to twist and turn things and make it awful.
So your advice to movie makers is don't make things awful.
Yeah.
Okay, exactly. I can agree with that. Yeah. Eric, are you looking forward to this?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Good. Good to hear. All right.
Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah. I mean, it's been my favorite comic or one of my favorite comics for years at this point. I'm definitely encouraged by the fact that you've seen it and you really liked it. But yeah, certainly I'm nervous to see it up on the screen, but it seems like it's really, really faithful in a fun way.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they got in the thing about, have you seen a girl with hair who looks like this? So that's my favorite part of the book.
That's your favorite part about the whole thing?
Yeah. Good. I don't know why. I can't explain it. We're going to move on to trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right.
This is how we feed it back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win $25 free? Simply raise your hand.
So easy.
Simply raising your hand will get you $25 free.
Do it.
Come on, somebody.
It's literally you walk on stage, get handed $25, and walk back
to
your
seat. That's it. That's literally it.
Fine.
Yeah. Come on up here. What's your name?
Oh, hi. Rocky.
Rocky, audience. Audience, Rocky.
Hi, Rocky. Yeah, hi, Rocky.
Bye. No. All right, so how this will work, I'll put this gift card over here. I'm going to read you three questions. You listen to all three possible answers. Go 3 for 3. Gift card yours. Today's trivia is on the wonderful Wizard of Oz.
Ah.
Okay. Thank you, Boothman. So far, there have been many Oz comics. Which has not been an Oz comic? Is it A, Oz Squad? B, The Oz / Wonderland War? Or C, Flying Butt Monkeys, Death from Above? Which is not a real comic?
I think I'm going to go with C.
C is correct! There has been a comic called Oz Squad and the Oz / Wonderland Wars. Okay, here we go. There are some new characters in the Oz world. Who is not a new character? Is it Jack Pumpkinhead, B, the Gump, or C, the Dreadnoughts? So your choice is Jack Pumpkinhead, B, the Gump, or C, Dreadnoughts.
Dreadnoughts?
Yes! Not even in the Oz world. Nice job, Rocky.
Yeah.
What is the other Oz comic that Eric Schanauer has worked on? Is it A, Adventures in Oz, B, Oz 2, Dark Side of the Bricks, or is it C, Kill All Witches, Bitches?
Wow.
What?
Which one is the other comic that he's worked on?
And I'm
is
it the A? Oz?
A, Adventures in Oz.
Now, of course, Pete, Kill All Witches, Bitches was the G.I. Joe Oz crossover.
Right, exactly.
But Eric didn't work on it.
Did
so
not.
The incorrect answer. Great. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day, or is it?
No, it's not.
Unfortunately, because of Memorial Day, Thursday is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Legends of the Guard. The new Moss Guard thing that is out. It's got a lot of new, exciting artists and authors telling stories from the Moss Guard world. So I'm excited about that. Should be a lot of fun.
Great.
They're so tiny and cute.
They are.
Yeah,
they are tiny and cute.
Well, you love that series. It's a great series.
It's an amazing series and an Eisner Award-winning series, I believe.
Wow.
Nice. I'm looking forward to Thor and the Warriors 4.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Oh, wow. All right, I'll mention some other stuff,
but I did write a comic book. It's coming out on Thursday. Thor and the Warriors 4, number 3.
Really?
Check it out. I hope you like it.
Really?
The art's good. Come on. Other people worked on this other than me. They worked very hard, Pete.
Wow.
Really, really hard. No, I mean, honestly, I did the bulk of the lifting, I think, on the book. Anyway, the other thing I'm looking forward to is...
What's the other thing you're looking forward to?
Serenity. There's a Serenity comic book that is following up on the story of Wash from the movie, filling in some details. It's written by Patton Oswalt. Which is kind of a crazy project.
What?
This is all true.
What?
I know. I've just
shut
blew
up.
Your mind. Okay, I'll shut up. Anyway,
so
I'm really looking forward to it.
Are you saying Patton Oswalt wrote a Serenity comic?
That's correct.
So geeky.
It's literally the geekiest thing I could think of. If I ate it in some sort of Star Wars restaurant, I think that's the only way it would be geekier. Anyway, which I'm going
Wait,
to be
Wait, is there
doing.
A Star Wars restaurant? Why aren't we eating at them?
Here's the thing. I'm going to set up my action figures and a tiny little hamburger and be like, wow, this is a wonderful Star Wars restaurant. Thank you. And then I'm going to pay for my hamburger at the end of the meal. But I'm going to read my comic book while there just so I can have the experience. Hamburgers are like $10 at my action figure pretend restaurant. It's crazy. Eric, what are you looking forward to?
What just happened?
I don't know. We went somewhere very strange.
I just noticed that there's a Fat Freddy's cat on that is coming out, which sounds really interesting. You know, it's a Freak Brothers cat.
Cool. Plug your stuff. When is your stuff coming out? What should people check out?
Marvelous Land of Oz, there's still two more issues to go. I'm not even sure what the schedule is, sorry, but the next two issues will be out within the next couple months. There's another issue of Age of Bronze, issue 30, which will be out in June, and the hardcover of Marvelous Land will be out in September, and then Ozma of Oz will start in November.
Very cool.
What the...
Pete, where did you just go?
I'm sorry, it's just the fact that there's like a... Punisher, Frankencastle, Birth of a Monster, number one? Like, when are we going to be done with this bullshit?
Never.
Literally never.
Seriously.
Yep. Never. The rest of your life.
You off.
All right, we'll deal with that on another show. In the meantime, you can check us out at youtube.com/comicbookclub. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Eric for being on the show.
Yeah!
We want to thank Bruce Band. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody.